Let us study together this morning lessons learned about sin from sickness. I thought this was appropriate. I've been doing a lot of thinking about being sick here the last couple of days. And there are a lot of things that go along with that that make us think about sin. There are some ways that they are similar, and there are some ways, of course, that they are very different. But we're going to look at a few of each of those, and I don't want to give anybody the idea that I've got an exhaustive list here. These were just the things that I thought of with my adult brain that was suffering from sleep deprivation and fever and so forth. So I'm sure I probably missed some, and you may think of some other things about sin and sickness that go hand in hand together. The scripture that was read to us from Mark chapter 2, particularly in verse 17, Jesus heard it. He said unto them, "They that are whole need not the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So he draws a connection between the sinner who is spiritually sick and the person who is physically sick and needs a doctor. And of course he draws the parallel as well between the physical physician and himself as the spiritual physician. And as we think about that, the parallels between Christianity and Christ in particular and the role of a physician, and we think about our role as well, that we have a role in helping the treatment of those who are spiritually sick. Found this recently, the parable of the doctor. Of course, most of us have a doctor that we visit occasionally, some maybe more often than occasionally, to get a medical opinion, advice, and treatment. Well, Edward is a good doctor. When his patients come to him, his diagnosis is determined by the condition he finds when they are examined. To some patients, he says, "You're fine. Keep on doing just what you've been doing." To others, his report is unpleasant. "You have a problem." For some patients, the problem could be cured with a change of diet, or with exercise or medicine. For others, surgery is necessary. And some may have a condition that is fatal and too far advanced to resolve. Dr. Edward is not the patient's enemy when he tells the patient, "You have a heart trouble," or "You have cancer." He might even be able to help them if they'll listen and accept his treatment. But should Dr. Ed be so timid that he won't admit to himself that the patient is ill, if he can't bear to do the surgery on a patient who needs it, he'd be a failure as a physician and actually a danger to those who trust their physical well-being in his hands. That's true, isn't it? When we go to a doctor, not so he'll always tell us that we're healthy, but so that if there is something wrong, he'll tell us how to fix it if it can be fixed. And yet, what kind of doctor would it be if he just told everybody, "Yeah, you're fine, you're fine." If he just never admitted any of his patients were sick, well, of course, he'd probably have a lot of dead patients before long. And he'd get a very bad reputation very quickly when people started to realize that they weren't healthy when they went to see him. Of course, most of the time, there are regular checkups where you go when you're healthy, but most of the time when we go to the doctor, it's because we are sick, and we already know we're sick. And if the doctor says, "No, you're fine," we don't think much of that doctor, do we? But here's Dr. Ed, good doctor. He tells the patients what their problem is, of course, to the best of his ability. Well, it's the same way in Christ. Many of us, and preachers, teachers, the elders at times, we put ourselves in that role of the doctor sometimes. We have to make a diagnosis about a particular situation. We too sometimes have to tell individuals some bad news. And we occasionally have to use the scalpel of God's Word to cut out the sin in an individual or even within an entire congregation. Of course, a preacher wouldn't be much help to the cause of Christ if he pretended that spiritually sick Christians or a spiritually sick church didn't have any problem. In fact, he'd be dangerous to those who looked to him to give them some spiritual guidance from his lessons. To be a faithful preacher, one must not shrink from declaring the whole counsel of God, as Acts 20 and verse 27 tells us. He must be willing to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with sound doctrine. And when Paul delivered an unpleasant diagnosis to the church in Galatia, he felt compelled to ask them, "Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" We find no joy in diagnosing the problems that there are in the church, but like a good physician, we have no choice but to do so. Now, of course, it's wonderful when you go to the doctor and you get a good report that everything's okay. Well, your cholesterol's fine, and everything's looking good. Your heart rate's okay, your blood pressure's okay, your blood sugar's okay. Everything's looking good. That's wonderful. But when there is a problem, you want that doctor to find out what that problem is and fix it. And it's the same way with us as Christians. When a fellow brother or sister is sick spiritually, we need to find out what the problem is and do everything we can to help them get that fixed. As we think about sin and physical sickness, let's think about a few ways they're similar. I have six things listed, and like I said, I'm sure that's not everything. You might think of some more just as we're studying this together this morning. Both must get inside to have an effect. All of the bacteria and viruses in the world won't hurt you as long as they're outside. It's when they get inside your body that they can become a problem. They can't do anything to you until then. Now, whether it's a food poisoning because of something you ate, or whether it's a staph infection or tetanus from a cut or a break in the skin, whether it's a sexually transmitted disease, whether it's a cold that you got from breathing in the viruses or from rubbing your eyes with your hands after you've gotten in contact, whatever the disease is, whatever the virus, whatever the bacteria, it can't hurt you until it gets in there. And sin's the same way. Sin cannot have an effect on you until it gets in your life. All the sin in the world can't hurt you spiritually. Now, I know that sin can destroy innocent people's lives. But spiritually speaking, it can't hurt you unless it's in your life. Unless it gets into your life. That's the only way sin can have an effect on you. And sickness works the same way. Neither is a respecter of persons. It doesn't matter who you are in the world, you can get sick. And it doesn't matter who you are in the world, you can get caught up in sin. They don't just go picking out certain people. You think about cancer. You think about heart disease. You think about so many of the other diseases, and certainly a cold. I mean, who is there that hasn't had a cold? Everybody's had a cold. We all get sick at some point or another. Even when we're little bitty children, we've already been sick several times probably. By the time we were old enough to start school, we've probably already been sick 15 or 20 times with little colds and things. And we continue to have illnesses throughout our life. Well, sin works the same way. It starts attacking us early. As soon as we understand the difference in right and wrong, when we choose to do the wrong instead of the right, we've engaged in sin. And from then on, sin is a constant plague on our lives. And everyone, does the Bible tell us, all have sinned. All have sinned. But it's not something that we just say, well, those people over there are sinners, but these people over here aren't. All have sinned. Third, we see that both of these things occur more often when we're weak. When we're run down, stressed out, tired from a lack of sleep, haven't been getting the proper nutrition that we should. When those are the factors in our life, those are the times that we're most likely to get sick. When we've been getting plenty of rest, when we've not been under any real stress, when we've been eating right and exercising and we're healthy, that's the least likely time that we'll get sick. Now, it doesn't mean that we won't get sick even under those circumstances. But it's much more likely that we'll get sick when we're run down and beat down and tired. The same thing is true with sin. When we're strong spiritually, when we're faithful, when we're studying God's Word and praying and living our life hard for Christ, oh yeah, we can still fall to sin, but it's not nearly so much so as when we haven't been praying and haven't been studying and haven't been trying to live right. Then we just got sin all over us. We get swallowed up in it under those circumstances. So one of the best ways for us to avoid sin is to build our spiritual strength with prayer and Bible study, with church attendance, with singing and praising God and keeping our mind focused on those good things that Philippians 4:8 tells us about. That'll help us build our spiritual strength so that we'll be able to resist the sin. Do you realize that not every illness that gets into your body makes you sick? Sometimes your immune system fights it off and you don't get sick. Well, that's the way it is with sin. If we've built up our spiritual immune system, then not every temptation is going to turn into sin in our life. We're going to resist some of those temptations. Another thing about sin and sickness, and although maybe this should be self-evident, but I think it needs to be said, neither helps us in any way. You know, sometimes we think that by engaging in sin, we're going to gain some advantage. We think it's going to help us in some way. But neither sin nor sickness is going to help us. It's not going to help us. Now, certainly there are things as far as illness goes. You know, we have all sorts of vaccines where they give us a weakened dose of the illness and things like that to overcome it, so we build up our antibodies and our immune systems ready to fight it and we don't get that disease, that kind of thing. But actually getting the disease, I guess you could say with Samuel, well, once you've had the chicken pox, you'll never get it again. Well, okay, I guess that's good in and of itself, but that doesn't help us. It doesn't help us to have a better life. It doesn't help us to be any better. But so many people get so caught up in thinking that, well, if I just lie about this, if I just cheat here, if I just steal there, and they won't call it stealing, if I just borrow there, if I just do this and do that, my life will be better. It's not true. Sin does not help our life to be better. It doesn't give us any advantage. Now, does that mean that it's not pleasurable at the time? No. Many times sin can be pleasurable at the time. But we must realize that it does not help us. Not everything that's pleasurable is good for us. Then we must also realize that sin and some illnesses, because of the fact that illnesses are so broad that you can't couple them all together, but some illnesses, as well as sin, make you more susceptible to them in the future. You ever notice the first time you lie, then the second time it's easier, and the third time it's easier, and before long it's just as easy as telling the truth, and a lot of times you say, hey, well, it's easier. It's just easier to do. It makes you more susceptible. Bronchitis works that same kind of way. They tell you, if once you get bronchitis, you're that much more likely to get it again. And if you get it again, it's going to be worse on you. And then, and eventually, you may get to the point where you have chronic bronchitis. And there are other diseases that are that way as well. That you just keep, it gets worse and worse, and you're more likely to get it once you've had it. But sin certainly works that way. The first time you did something that you thought was really bad, it was tough. You thought, you were scared, you're afraid you were going to get caught, and you were afraid of all. But when you, quote, got away with it once, the next time, it was easier, wasn't it? And then before long, you didn't even give it a second thought. You just went and did it. Makes you more susceptible to doing it again in the future. And of course, the sixth thing then that we must realize is that both can cause death. Both can cause physical death. Sin can cause you physically to lose your life. And illness certainly can cause you physically to lose your life. In fact, that's more people die as a result of illness of some kind or another than accidents or murders or even just dying of old age, as they say. Everything that we think about, when we think about all that broad category of things that of different illnesses that destroy people's lives. But of course, sin not only can destroy physically, but it can destroy spiritually. And this brings us then to some of the ways that sin and sickness are different. One of the things about sickness that we've got to realize is that you may become sick even if you've done nothing wrong. Sin doesn't work that way. You never have gotten involved in sin without doing something wrong. Well, why is that? Because sin is doing something wrong. So by its definition, you've got to have done something wrong. And of course, as we said before, even the innocent little babies get sick. You may have never done anything wrong necessarily, and yet may become sick anyway. And we talked about earlier, like the chicken pox, and there are other illnesses as well, that once you've had them, you become immune to them. In other words, you can never get sick with that disease again. But sin doesn't work that way. There is not a sin in the world that once committed makes you immune to ever committing it again. In fact, as we saw earlier, quite the opposite. Sin makes you more susceptible to more sin. So even though some illnesses will make you immune to future illnesses, that's not the case with sin. Another way that they're different is that when we're sick, we want to get better. Now think about what that means. That means many times when we're sin sick, we don't want to get better. We think it's okay. When was the last time you were sick and you said, "Well, you know, I think I'm just gonna stay sick. I like this. I'm gonna keep being sick the rest of my life. It's so much fun, and it's so good to be sick." Now, granted, it's nice to have people call, and is there anything I can do for you? Can I help you with, do you need anything? That's nice. And we've had, at various times when we were sick, we've had various people to call and to bring this thing, you know, homemade soup or juice. Okay, that's, you know, that, yeah, that's nice. But I wouldn't want to be sick all the time just so folks would be nice to me. And yet, when it comes to sin, the vast majority of the world is so sick with sin, but they don't want to get any better. Now, as Christians, we ought to have a different attitude than that. We ought to want to get better. We ought to want to get over this sin sickness that we have. But the fact of the matter is, many times we don't. We want to keep hanging on to our favorite sins. And it doesn't make good sense. We wouldn't want to keep hanging on to a few of the germs. Well, I want to get mostly better, but, you know, if I could just keep, you know, one part of me, maybe just one fourth of this lung over here, if I could just let it be sick all the time and the rest of me be healthy, that would be okay. Or, you know, maybe if I could just get one little sore right here on my little finger and the rest of me be happy, I'd be okay with just keeping that one little leprous sore. That'd be good. It's ridiculous. We'd never think that way. And yet, with sin, that's what we do. But I want to keep this. I want to keep doing this. Of course, as you know, with sicknesses, there are all sorts of treatments with varying degrees of effectiveness. They haven't found any treatment really whatsoever for the common cold because there are so many different varieties of it that basically all they can do is give you some painkiller and things to kind of ease the suffering. But the cold's going to run its course until your body beats it down. But there is a treatment for sin that is 100% effective, and it's effective for 100% of the population in 100% of the cases, if only it will be taken. Can you imagine if they found a cure for cancer like that? They said, this is it. It will work for everybody. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, there is a cure for sin. And it will work for everybody. Jesus, of course, is that cure for sin. And it's 100% effective. I think Listerine advertises it kills 99.9% of the germs if you use it or whatever in your mouth. Well, that other 0.1% can still cause you some problems. I mean, I know that's good that it... But what if Jesus, when you were baptized, and Jesus washed away 99.9% of your sins? Well, we'd still be lost, wouldn't we? Because we'd still have that 0.1% that wasn't forgiven, it wasn't washed away. But see, Jesus is 100% effective. He washed all our sins away. And He can continue to cleanse us from our sin for the rest of our life. All we have to do is continue to be faithful to Him. And He'll continue to cleanse us of our sin. Another thing that's somewhat different about sin and sickness is the way that sin seems to come in bunches. Usually, you know, you get sick, you get the flu, or you get a cold, or you get some disease, some problem physically. Occasionally, folks get a lot of physical problems all at once, but most of the time, when we get sick, it's just one sickness, and we got to get over it. But with sin, why they come in clusters? I mean, you've got greed and lying and stealing, and they all come grouped together sometimes. And you've got lying and gossiping and being a busybody. It comes in bunches like that. And you've got lust and sexual immorality and all these. And they come in bunches. And once you give in to one, it makes it that much easier to get into a whole new group. And of course, that's the way that the devil likes it. Because the more sins there are out there, and the more different kinds, and the easier it is, then the more people are going to get more involved in it. The sin comes in bunches like that. And then finally, of course, we observed this briefly, but we want to point it out specifically. Sickness, illnesses, diseases are physical. Whereas sin affects both the physical and the spiritual. Now some people might say, well, I'm so sick, it made me do this and that and the other thing, and it affected me spiritually. Well, no, they're two separate things. You might have been sick, but it was then the attitude regarding that sickness and the way you reacted to it that caused you to get yourself involved in sin that then became a spiritual problem. And it's easy for us to allow that to happen. But the good news is, the Lord tells us in Isaiah 1 and verse 18, "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." You know, we're never going to rid the world of sickness. We're never going to rid our lives of sickness. The only time our sickness is going to stop will be when we die. But when it comes to sin, we can work to get that out of our lives. We can wash that away. We can turn those crimson sins white as snow. We can clean up that mess. If you're here this morning and you have a need to respond to the invitation, perhaps you've got sin in your life, and you've been keeping it far longer than you should. Maybe it's time to get rid of it. Jesus has the cure. Come to Him and let Him wash away your sins. Let Him clean them away. If you are a Christian and you're still engaging in sin, Jesus can forgive you if you'll repent. Turn away from that sin. Why do you want to do that? You don't want to go out and get sick. Why do you want to do the same thing spiritually? If you're here and you have a need to respond, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.